NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right. Welcome into the show, everyone. Happy Saturday to you. Happy College Football Saturday to all of you. Happy NBA preseason basketball season to all of you. Welcome to Happy World Series in what is it called? NCC. Anyways, welcome.
ALCS.
Yeah, there we go. I knew one of them boys would bail me out.
Divisional playoffs, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go, Dodgers.
All right, Dodgers, Mookie Betts. Yeah, okay. All right, welcome to all of those things. Welcome into the show. Hey, what's up, TJ? What's up, Plaxico? How y'all doing, man? How y'all feeling?
Beautiful day.
You should feel great. Your son took a slant about 40 yards in his game when they caught the ball and got missing.
Oh, man. Elbows and shoe soles. That's all we want to see.
That boy caught that slant route and was gone.
Got busy.
Hey, man, that's what it's all about. And you know what? The older you get, you still want to be able to run them slant routes the right way, don't you, TJ?
Hey, and as he gets older, he's going to defy aging with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that helps support healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you.
Get M Drive. And you know what? You're going to get up on game today. We didn't get an opportunity. You know, we know that the John Gruden information hit earlier this week, but we don't come on until Saturday. So I want to touch on that. We got On Your Head. We got apologies from the Washington football team president. We also have conversations with a legend, legendary moments. We got a jam-packed show, but as you guys all know, we all start this first segment off with, well, what we all know as I'm On Your Head.
Move it like this. I'm On Your Head with James Jackson.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, James Jackson. It's another edition of I'm On Your Head, presented by the Up On Game Network and Fox Sports Radio. Y'all know what it is. This is the segment where I find a team in the sports landscape who's been slipping in the past week, and I call them out. I air them out right here on the airwaves. And it's funny that the last 2 weeks that I've been doing this, both the Steelers and the Saints, they won the games after I've gotten them out of here, after I've gotten on their heads. And hopefully that trend continues because this next team really needs it, man. Without further ado, Kansas City Chiefs, I'm on your head. Or should I say, I'm on your arrowhead. I mean, it's just not off to a hot start, y'all. It's kind of like Travis Kelce when he cut his beard. It's just not looking too good. 2-3 to start the season, and right now last in the AFC West, looking up at the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders. And this is a team that wasn't complacent, right? This is a team that was very active in the offseason. They rebuilt their offensive line. They went and got Joe Tooney and Kyle Long. They even signed Josh Gordon just now. I mean, they're trying to get Patty Mahomes help. Pretty soon he's going to have to ask Jake from State Farm if he knows how to run some routes, man, because he needs all the help that he can get right now. But in all seriousness, it's not Patrick Mahomes and the offense, right? We all know it's that defense that's really struggling. Last in points allowed per game, second to last in yards allowed, and they have the fifth worst rushing defense in the league. Like, that is KC. Kind of crazy. So, look, will the Chiefs be okay? Will the Chiefs make the playoffs? Probably, most likely. They have this dude named Patrick Mahomes at quarterback who's amazing. But that's to worry about in the future. For right now, it's looking shaky, baby. And for that reason, Kansas City, I'm on your head.
And rightfully so, Mr. James Jackson, rightfully so. Now, fellas, I've been saying this. If there's any other team out there in the National Football League that has the ranking and the schedule or excuse me, the wins-loss total so far that Kansas City has, you're saying that it's a doom and gloom season. It's so far, it's on its way into the cellar. But everybody
After five weeks, LeVar?
Well, okay, yes. Okay. So here we go. So everybody seems to think you don't believe that. Okay, I'm saying I'm giving it to you, and I want to know what do you – I mean, because we'll look at some of these other teams and we'll say, ah, you know what, the 49ers, they could be in trouble. They're 2-3. Oh, the Detroit Lions, they're winless. Oh, the Vikings, they're 2-3. Cellar dwellers, right? The Vikings are third out of four teams in the NFC North. You know what your Kansas City Chiefs are? They're fourth. They're last at 2-3 in their division. What makes them any different from any of these other teams that are last in their division? Go ahead, Plex. Sound like you've already drank the Kool-Aid. So go ahead. Hey, let's know what's in it. Out of all the teams
in each division that have that have a losing record, San Francisco 49ers, Detroit, well, the Giants, and Atlanta.
The Steelers.
But the team that I'm least worried about is Kansas City. I mean, listen, they have, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the world. They have a championship pedigree. And I'm not worried about them as much as I'm worried about the other teams that have losing records in the first 5 weeks of the season. Kansas City will turn it around. Andy Reid knows how to get this bunch back to playing championship quality football. Listen, the AFC West is one of the premier conferences in football right now. I think the Chargers, it's between the Chargers and the Kansas City in that division right now. But Kansas City, I wouldn't worry about them. I would be worried about teams like the Atlanta Falcons, Minnesota Vikings. They have no chance of winning a division after those first 5 weeks because we know that they are not going to contend with Tampa Bay and Minnesota. They won't contend with Green Bay Packers going down the stretch. So as far as the Kansas City Chiefs, they have the best chance of any team with a losing record right now to turn their season around and still make the playoffs in that division.
Mm. This is the thing. None of those teams have the firepower the Chiefs have. The Chiefs have firepower. Defensively, very poor. That's no secret, but they've never been the best defensive team since Mahomes has taken over. But they have offensive firepower that nobody else in the league has. Winning their division is going to be tough, not just this year, moving forward. Justin Herbert's the real deal. The Chargers have a good young team, and so they're always going to compete with them. If Denver can figure this quarterback situation out, that's another team that defensively will present problems. But the Chiefs have firepower, and they're going to show that firepower tomorrow. Washington football team, supposedly great defense, the Chiefs will show this firepower. Is it cause for concern? Yes, cause for concern. You can't stop anyone. So when you can't stop anyone, it puts so much pressure on that offense, and they'll all say, oh, I don't feel like we need to score every time. Well, every time the offense gets the ball, we feel like we need to score or you want to score. It's just with Kansas City, it's paramount that they score. And they start to feel that pressure. But when you have the firepower that they have,
right,
the pressure is worth it because they can score at any moment. And the way teams are playing them, too high shell, just run the ball.
Yeah.
Don't get cute. Go back to the basics. You know, they want to line Tyreek Hill up at quarterback, then shift and put Kelce at quarterback, and then shift and put man, just go back to the basics. Run the ball to bring a safety down. Now you can open it up.
We'll get into the Raiders and where they currently are. I don't know how they're going to respond to everything that has taken place, but you got to think, Kansas City, we can say they probably will beat Washington, but can you say that they will
be also 2-3?
Yeah, I mean, who cares, right? Like, they're 2-3. Who cares?
That's
my point that I'm making, right? So you're going to have the Titans, you're going to have the Packers, you're going to have the Raiders. You're going to have the Cowboys. You're going to have the Broncos. You're going to have the Raiders again. Then you're going to have the Chargers. We all know the Steelers, they might be some trash by December 26th. But
wow.
They might be. I hate to say it. It pains me to say it. But they might be a team that's a trap game for the Chiefs in December. All right. Then you have the Bengals. That could be a trap team. They could be the same thing as Pittsburgh at that point in time. Now, they're probably trending up, but – who knows what the Bengals are going to be? We know what the Bengals are when the Bengals are what the Bengals are. No offense to you, TJ. I'm just saying, we know who the Bengals are. They could either beat the Chiefs in January, or they could be a team that you're saying, you know what, is looking to continue to build for the future of the next season. And then you finish out with the Broncos again. To me, it is not a schedule that is for the faint of heart, the weak of heart. It's just not. And so when you look at what the schedule has remaining left, a lot of these games, to me, the way Kansas City is playing right now currently, are 50-50 games. They're 50-50. You're not going into this game or going into these weeks feeling super ridiculously comfortable.
Yeah, you are.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, if I'm Kansas City, I feel very confident that I'm running through the Washington football team tomorrow.
Fair enough.
I feel confident with that. And honestly.
And Tennessee, then Tennessee, then the Giants.
I don't know that you're going to run through Tennessee. And then you run through
Tennessee
the Giants.
Hasn't been showing up playing any kind of
Tennessee will present problems because of the way they run the ball.
Correct.
But defensively, they're not going to be able to do anything with
but
the Chiefs.
But they find ways. For some reason, Mike Vrabel with his team finds ways to defense in games like this. I mean, you can just look at the history of what he's been able to do. He'll go into games where you think he's going to get blown out by a team, and he'll run the ball, and he'll defense them. I'm not saying he does it and it's sustainable, it's consistent. I'm saying he does this, and he does it to teams like the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't think that this is a team that we should be just brushing off the obvious. And the y'all brushing it off. They're going to win it all. And
I mean,
that's a huge stretch where you just said win it all. Not one time did we say they win it. Yeah. If I'm the Chiefs, you should be. Every game is concerning. This is NFL. We all played. You know anybody can beat anybody every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chiefs do – they have firepower, like what
they're last.
Their arsenal,
their
what they're bringing to the
last.
What they're bringing to the table. Who else in the league can say we're bringing
right,
this to
right
the table?
Now, hey, TJ, right now they're bringing a fourth in their division plate.
Yeah,
they're
coming up fourth. The game that's going to change the Kansas City Chiefs season around is when they play Dallas in Kansas City, Week 11.
They better hope that they don't have too many more losses going into that game.
That is going to turn the whole season around after Week 11, and you're gonna sit here.
Hey man, for all we know, they could be 6-4, 7-3 going into that, and then what? Oh man, that start isn't so bad. The Chiefs are going to put up points. Spagnuolo needs to figure out defensively what do they need to do to help the offense and the team out. It's simple. The defense needs to be better. It's very simple but hard to do.
And they got the Raiders twice. And what did I tell y'all about the Raiders 2 weeks ago? Fool's gold.
You did say that.
You did say it.
You did say it.
We ain't know that.
Hey, fool's gold. Hey.
We ain't know that fool was being put in fool's gold the way that it went into fool's gold for Raiders. But it's certainly something that we are going to get into. And in fact, we're going to get into legendary moments. We're going to get into up on game, down on game. We got a lot of topics to get into. But first, you know what we're going to get into? A Ram truck. You know, it's that time of the year. Time to get off the couch, get into the stadium parking lots. It's football season, y'all. And that means tailgating is back. This season, do it right. Pack up your coolers, your grills, and your widescreen TVs. Load them up into that Ram truck. It's a brand that's redefining what a truck can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. First time a truck brand has ever scored that high, Ram trucks, they have the rugged durability to haul what you need and luxurious interiors to make the drive to every away game a pleasure. Get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up on the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. Learn more about a Ram and what it has to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. Okay, you're listening to Up On Game, y'all. This is Fox Sports Radio. TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. This is the Trip Trio that gets it right, gets it done, gets you going on your Saturday. Hope you're enjoying college football. Hope you're enjoying sports. And Heck, we hope you're enjoying our show. We'll be right back. We got a lot on the other side of the break. Welcome back into the show. You're listening to Up On Game. If you love the show, if you like the show, if you want a friend to hear the show, if you want to spread the message, spread the gospel of what the game is all about, that's going into your ear right now. That's hitting your ear, tubing, your pain. Yeah. Make sure you go check out Up On Game podcast, wherever it is that you download your shows. Check us out. You know, TJ, LeVar, me. I am me. Plexico, TJ, LeVar. Yeah, that's it. I got all three right. Hey, listen, we got a lot to talk about here. And, again, the topic of John Gruden, the emails, the fallout, the resignation, it all took place on Monday. I do believe it came out Monday night during Monday Night Football on the Four-Letter Word Network. Fellas, you guys haven't, and maybe you have, but let's just rehash it again for the sake of getting it done on Up On Game, and maybe in a manner of which you may have not have approached it or broached it during the course of the week. What's your reaction to everything that has taken place and transpired with the John Gruden situation?
Well, for me, when I look at it, and I'll say this, when I first saw the first email, DeMaurice Smith's have lips like Michelin tires, I personally didn't think that was racist. I didn't.
It might be bigoted or ignorant or prejudiced.
I truly didn't think it was racist. I didn't. And for those that thought that that's how they felt, that's their opinion, but TJ didn't believe that was racist. He was talking about he has big lips. Okay. But when you start to he number one, he thought those were private, and a lot of us have done and said things in private that you would not do in public, and so when those things come to light with John Gruden, do I believe he deserved to lose his job over it? Yes and no. Like, I don't understand how you can lose your job over something that he thought was private, whether it's right or wrong. He thought it was a private conversation. I don't think you should lose your job over that. But you can't do those things and coach in the National Football League. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, it's a privilege. But what happened was they released it with DeMaurice Smith. Okay, Mark Davis, you're not going to move. Okay, now we're going to reach the homophobic and the misogynistic talk. I believe they were just going to keep releasing things until Mark Davis moved. And Mark Davis didn't want to fire him. He was forced to fire him. When they asked him, ask the NFL, they got all the answers. He was pissed off about that. He didn't want to fire John Gruden. Mm-hmm. And the problem is this. John Gruden said what he said, and you have the only openly gay player in your locker room. How do you handle that? Like, there's no way John Gruden could have approached him, could have coached him without him feeling a certain type of way about the comments that John Gruden made. But again, I felt it was a private conversation that he shouldn't lose his job over it, but I'm not the one in charge.
Listen, if you know John Gruden and you have spent time with John Gruden, you are not surprised at all with the language and some of the rhetoric that he uses in those emails, because he uses it and he does it openly and freely. I've spent time with him, and he curses like a sailor. That's just he's speaking and typing on these, in these emails, just like he speaks like in person talking. if he's comfortable around you. So I'm not surprised by it at all. And, you know, going back to the whole Michael Sam, you know, situation, what was it, 10, 15 years ago when he came out and said, you know, he was openly gay coming out of Missouri. And just like you touched on it just right now, TJ, and, you know, he's supporting Carnassib for coming out and being the first openly gay football player in the NFL, but he really doesn't.
Right.
He's looking his man in his face and telling him and supporting him in the organization that in the decision that he made in his life to come out and say, I'm a first openly gay football player. But he doesn't really support him because his emails shows us that he doesn't. And I guess it affected Nassim so bad that he called into the Raiders and said, listen, I want to take a day off. I'm not coming in for a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know about that, though. Like, everybody
what
goes
do you mean
through
you know about
everybody
that?
Goes through things during
how do you think it made that man feel when I can almost be sure that that John Gruden and Nassim had an open conversation privately
Plex.
In their coach's room, and he's that man's looking you in your face and telling you that he's proud of you and all these things, but in the back of his mind he's really calling you all of those words that he's putting in those emails.
Everybody deals with something during the season, like a
you
day
can't
off.
Just
like,
call, just I need a day off.
Right.
Just call in and say, I need a day off.
Yeah. My feelings are hurt.
You got to understand, we're dealing with a whole different title, a different situation.
They felt obligated to give him that day off. But trust and believe, they're sitting there behind closed doors like John Gruden was behind closed doors when he sent them. This dude need a day off, really? You know that. You know that's what they're thinking. His feelings were hurt, really? Like, you need a day off? Gruden's not here anymore. You need a day off? They're going to give it to him. But you know behind closed doors, Mike Mayock was like, huh, okay, this is what we're dealing with.
And I'm glad you brought that up because here's another aspect of this that I want to bring up to you guys. And you made mention of it, Plex. This is not uncommon conversation amongst coaches and football culture. I don't care what your racial orientation is. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. Whatever your background is, wherever you come from, one thing about football culture, most dudes, a lot of dudes, it's like kind of like a one way or the other. It's like you're either very Christian and spiritual and faith-based and you approach things from that approach, or you're a scoundrel. Like, let's just be real about it. Your words
are
horrible.
Damn, no in-between?
There is no in-between. Name me an in-between.
Me?
Name me in-between.
I think me.
No way. He said me.
No way.
The guy that likes to fight. I can only imagine some of the words that's coming out of your mouth when you're throwing them punches.
TJ, I have been on the sideline with you. I have been in practices with you. Ain't no way.
No way. Okay, I'll take that.
Scoundrel.
I'll take that. Go ahead, LeVar. I'm sorry.
LeVar, come to me.
Hey, listen. I'm going to come to you right now. That is too funny. I have been a scoundrel. I have, as a coach. And then when I coached at a Christian school, I was Christian and faith-based in how I approach things because that's what my job description called for, being at a Christian school. In the National Football League, in college, in National Football League, and in some high school programs, the language is what the language is. I have been around I have heard some of the most outrageous things said by coaches. And if this man has resigned based off of the things that he said, y'all both know, then if this opens up, and this is my question for you guys, if this opens up the conversation of rules of engagement and who is saying what, you know what I mean? Who is saying what in terms of what a player or a coach is able to say, we got an issue here. We have an issue here because to me, the bottom line of what I'm looking at is that now you've opened Pandora's box.
Can I ask,
I don't believe that.
Hey, LeVar, let me ask you and Plexus. Do you guys believe he deserved to lose his job?
It's a tough situation to be in, but we just spoke on it with the whole NASA situation. I mean, it kind of, you know, how do you address that to your team and to this young man after we see everything that he has put out in the email? How does NASA respect him going forward as a football player and as a man?
Yeah, I don't know.
How? You can't – that man, like, he hurt his feelings, I guess, obviously. But he can't have a relationship with this man and moving forward and being his coach when he really doesn't support everything that he's going through and has came out and said. But he told him that he did. He looked him at his face and told him a lie.
But here's the thing.
I don't think that he wanted to lose his job.
But you're staying on that. But let's be clear here. Coaches are like politicians. They lie to everybody. They might even lie to themselves. They might believe their own lies. They can sit there and tell you, I support you. I believe in you, da-da-da, this, that, and the other, and not care. They could cut you the next hour. So I feel like the culture of football, they don't owe you anything. They don't. John Gruden doesn't owe that to Carl Nassib to be supportive of him and what his orientation is.
Yes, he does.
Who he wants to spend his private.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he's a player in your locker room. You should support him. Whether you agree with it or not, you should support him. If you're the leader of that team, which John Gruden was as a head coach, yes, you should. 100%. If he's not, it's a problem.
I don't think that you have to outwardly go out of your way.
No. You're not. You don't have to go out of your way.
And the reason why
you should support him. He's a player on your team, just like the other 52 guys.
But he said he supported him. He doesn't have to go out of his way and call him, are you okay? Like, is everything good at home?
But he really doesn't.
These are grown men. You could be his employee. You could be an employee. He could be an employee today and gone tomorrow, just like he is. So if he's an employee that could be there today and gone tomorrow, just like that guy that's playing for him could be there today and gone tomorrow, all he owes him is coaching him what he needs to be coached, teaching him what he needs to be taught, and making sure that they execute game plans during the course of the week. That's all he owes them. And he owes that to himself, and he owes that to the team. Anything outside of that, you're taking that obligation on for yourself. You're taking that on for yourself, because the idea of saying you do owe that to him, well, how many players are you going to deal with during the course of that year? And how deep and how close are you going to get with each one of those players and be able to support, air quotes, what it is that they have going on?
No, it's not about being close to him. It's about just letting him know you support him. Like, you don't have to.
He did.
Right, and that's all. And that's all that needs to be done. Nothing more.
He doesn't owe that. If he came out and verbally supported Carl Nassib versus not saying anything at all, it doesn't change anything. Carl Nassib still has to show up in that locker room.
He had to come out.
Carl Nassib feel uncomfortable if John Gruden publicly doesn't support that. It makes him feel uncomfortable.
But what if it makes John Gruden uncomfortable to come out?
Then you shouldn't be the coach or a leader of men. You should not be coaching him in a league.
He can't be a coach.
Absolutely not.
He can't be a coach.
No, you can't.
If he doesn't support that.
Absolutely not. No chance.
LeVar lives in La La Land.
No chance.
Hey, but LeVar, getting back to your question, I don't believe that this particular situation opens up a Pandora's box for, you know, all the private emails for GMs and owners across the league. But I do believe.
Maybe not private emails.
Hey, that somebody had a personal vendetta against John Gruden in this situation.
Hey, they was getting Gruden up out of there.
To find these emails and to bring them up there for them to surface, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years later, somebody had something out for this man. I don't know who it was. I don't know who leaked the emails. They're trying to figure that whole situation out. But I believe somebody had a personal thing against John Gruden in this situation. And my brother told me last week, he said, man, listen, be careful what you say. You will hear it again. And be careful what you write. You will see it again. And that's what happened to John Gruden. I don't know how or who or what. But it was just it's an unbelievable time for all this stuff to come out about him. Right now, I believe that somebody had something personal.
Man, over 650,000 emails. You know they're not releasing them emails,
man. And those are the emails that came out. And listen, I'm gonna say this: we could disagree, and we could agree to disagree on the last point. I personally do not think that that is a – you owe that to a player. You do not owe anything other than to put your best foot forward.
Then you shouldn't be the coach.
Guide.
You can't lead and guide if you don't support a player. You can't lead and guide.
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
You can't lead and guide because that's your job. That's your job. You can lead and guide.
And it was your job to – hey, it was your job to not be a scoundrel and act Christian like when you became the coach at high school.
Yeah, but most coaches don't. A lot
what
of
you mean
coaches
they don't.
Man, y'all sound crazy right now.
I don't say
y'all
I'm
sound so
you the
crazy
truth.
Right now. La La Land, my ass, La La Land. Let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. If that's what y'all think this is about, then you know, God bless, and I appreciate how y'all look at and how y'all feel. Somebody gets y'all as a coach, they're going to be okay that much more because you're taking on that type of responsibility.
See, you're overstating it, LeVar. Nobody is talking about taking on this responsibility. You just said
that is a responsibility.
Support them.
That is.
That's it. Publicly support them. You're not calling them every day, seeing how he's doing.
You're saying he shouldn't be a coach if he doesn't come out and publicly support Carl Nassib.
How can you be a leader of a football team when you don't support the guys on your team?
That
just
is
because
absurd.
He's gay. Because you don't want to support that, huh?
That has nothing. Nah. See, you're trying to change the narrative.
It has
everything
to do with
the narrative.
Nah,
that's what we're talking about.
Nobody said you. If you do not feel comfortable coming out and verbally and publicly addressing the issue, that does not mean that you're
so
not
if
supportive
you, if
of
you
that
you don't
person.
Feel comfortable about it, what does it say about you? If you don't feel comfortable to publicly,
but
what does that say
line,
about you?
But
you can't
TJ,
answer that. What
TJ,
does that say about you?
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can answer the
Go
question
ahead, Mr. Arrington.
If you want me to answer the
yes,
question.
Yes, please do.
I can answer the question if you want me to answer the question. The question that you're asking me is not in need of an answer. The bottom line is if that coach does not want to come out in public and discuss that, that does not mean one way or the other. So it doesn't matter if he supports it or not. The only person that's going to know that is probably that coach in that scenario. You have a conversation. Your duty is to have the conversation with your player after something like that and make sure y'all are on the same page. Your duty is to have a conversation with the rest of your team and make sure that your team is on the same page with what took place. You have no accountability. You have no necessity to have to get in front of a camera, in front of a microphone, and give outward openly support for a situation like that.
LeVar,
you don't have to do that.
What do you think what do you think the rest of the team will say if John Gruden doesn't publicly come out and support him? What do you think is going to be? We've been in a locker room. What are we talking about?
Bruh.
We should take some callers from some head coaches and get their opinions.
Well, I don't know who we have on tap to jump on here and talk about this. I do know this. We have run very, very long. And let's get the Isaac Lohenkron and let's get an update. I mean, I'm just blown away by y'all right
I'm
now.
I'm blown
Ilo,
away
me,
by
give
you.
Me, give me an update, Ilo. What we got trending, bro?
See, usually, you guys know me. I am so loathe to give compliments to anybody but myself. That was a fantastic segment of radio. And between you and me, guys, the thing I don't like about ex-jocks is they tell me stuff that I already know. I want to know the stuff that only the ex-jocks would know because they played. And that's what I just...
Why we gotta be jocks?
Huh?
Why we gotta be jocks?
As a compliment. Look at... Can you believe him? I'm trying to give this guy a compliment and I get pushed back.
Hey, Ilo, you might lose your job calling us.
Yeah.
What was that?
You might lose your job calling us jocks. You know what I mean?
I'm a jock and a scoundrel.
You gotta be real sensitive about the words you use these days.
I'm saying that as a compliment.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, look. I've been on the squat rack for years, and nothing ever happens. Nothing ever grows. I could only do 135 before my retirement, so believe me, I'm saying is it a compliment.
Okay.
Anyway, as I was saying, is you guys took me inside the locker room to a culture that someone like me, most importantly, our listeners, don't know, instead of rehashing stuff that we already know. So on behalf of our listeners, I appreciated the insight very much. even though LeVar gave me pushback when I was trying to give him a compliment. On to the scoreboard we go. Number three, Cincinnati, playing host to Central Florida. And have you driven a Ford lately into the end zone?
Ritter ready for the shotgun snap. Hands it off to Ford. Charges forward and takes it into the end zone. Touchdown, Bearcats!
Dan Hoard the call on WLW, and Cincinnati has just scored another touchdown, so they're up 14-0 with a minute and 30 seconds left to play in the first quarter. Elsewhere. Oh, no, not again.
Michigan State.
Oh, jeez. Do we really have to do this every week? I'm impressed, though, that he knows the lyrics. I do not know the lyrics to the fight song of my own alma mater.
We fight right for the only colors, green and white.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Number 10, Michigan State.
I don't have to be supportive of that either.
At Indiana. Indiana actually took the lead in this game. Sorry, Plax, because of a field goal, but Michigan State has just come back with a touchdown, and not only a touchdown, but a pick six. Yes, Indiana's Jack Tuttle intercepted by Michigan State's Cal Holiday, or Halliday rather. He returned it 30 yards for a touchdown. So Michigan State has a 7-3 lead at Indiana with 3:37 left to play in the first quarter. Number 25, Texas, up on Oklahoma State, which is ranked 12th in the country, 7-3. 2 minutes left to play in the first quarter. Thank you, Plaxico.
Yes, sir. You're very welcome.
Auburn has a 7-0 lead at number 7, a 7-3 lead at number 17, Arkansas, with 1:13 left to play in the first quarter. Number 20, Florida, a 6-0 lead at LSU. LSU blocked the extra point attempt after the Florida touchdown. They have 2 minutes left to play in the first quarter. And number 21, Texas A&M, already a 21-0 lead at Missouri with 1:31 left to play in the first quarter. We also have some NFL news this morning. The Dolphins officially activating quarterback Tua Tagovailoa off of injured reserve ahead of their game in London against the Jaguars tomorrow. Arizona head coach Cliff Kingsbury out for tomorrow's game at Cleveland after testing positive for COVID. Josh Weinfuss reporting a short time ago that Kingsbury remains asymptomatic but has taken 4 COVID tests since yesterday, and they all have come back positive. Baseball today, 4:20 Eastern, Game 2 of the ALCS. Astros won their opener in that series over the Red Sox last night, 5-4. Game 1 of the NLCS between the Braves and Dodgers tonight at 8:08 Eastern. Moments ago, the Dodgers announced that Corey Knebel will be their opening pitcher this evening, also their opening pitcher for Game 5 of the NLDS at San Francisco on Thursday night. Fellas, back to you.
Let's talk Tua on the other side of this break, but first and foremost, remember this. It's that time of the year, y'all. Get off your couch. Get into a stadium parking lot. Heck, get into your driveway. I don't even care. But you know what you need to do it with? Your Ram truck. It's football season, and that means tailgating is back. So this season, do it right. Pack up your coolers, your grills, your widescreens, your TV. Load them all up into your Ram truck, man. This is the brand that's redefining what a truck can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored that high, y'all. Ram's trucks, well, they have the rugged durability to haul whatever you need, but it also is a luxurious interior that makes your drive very, very, very pleasurable, very nice. Get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football season with a Ram truck. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 JD Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get me a glass
Stretch
of water.
Pimp.
I'm going to wipe my brow because I just heard Stretch Armstrong and Pantene Man hit me with some wild S on radio
Stretch
on
pimp.
Live radio. This is why I love Up On Game, because while they may be wrong in some of their assessments and opinions, I find it to be very breathtaking and very, very, very valuable to be able to hear them.
I wish
wrongness.
We had like some live interaction from others that we can just look at and see. Because, man.
Yeah, well. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. All right, let's get a break. Let's get back to it. We got a whole lot more to go and not a whole lot of time to do it. This is Up On Game. That's TJ Sensitive, Hutch Menzada. That's Plexico Sensitive, Burris.
And we're going to take a quick break. Baby.
And we're going to be right back after these messages.
Sensitive about me, baby.
My daughters have made me a little more sensitive.
Oh, you soft now, bro.
Guys.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, TJ, give us, you know, because you got to be a driven man. So give us what you're feeling on this driven man talk.
Yeah. Defy aging with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive. Hey, you know what? I pretty much know this by heart. I don't even got to read it. It's just in my head now. I got it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just got it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I even though you're not accountable to have to memorize it, I'm glad that you did so that you could get through the read like you were talking. Like, I'm very proud of that, TJ. now, we only have a couple minutes, and I wanted to talk to Tua in this last segment, but we have no minutes. So give us a wrap-up before we wrap the hour up. And I want to get to the Sean Taylor conversation as well in the next hour. But just super quickly going into the break, what's your conclusion on the Gruden? Make it quick, please, guys.
I just look at it like for Gruden, he'll never coach again. That's obvious. This day and age, you can't do the things and say the things that he said or he typed
10 years ago.
You just can't do it in where we are as a society. You can't offend anyone, and that's just what it is. Whether you agree or disagree, you cannot do it and be a coach in the National Football League, because as they tell you, being a player is a privilege, being a coach is a privilege as well.
True. What you got, Plex?
Whether he decided – whether he deserved to lose his job or not is here nor there. I mean, just like TJ said, especially with everything that's going on now with the LGBT community and all of those things, and it's just tough to come back from that, especially right now, especially where we are. But like I said, I'm not surprised by some of the language that he used. Like you said, it's a football culture. But, you know, they're not going to tolerate those kind of things that's going on right now. This is what it is.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see the colliding of what a culture has represented for so long. Even when we were kids, you know, coaches had crazy language, even as kids. And where we are today, as you mentioned, TJ, with the way society is and Plex, you know, not offending people and where that fine line is. This is a conversation that will continue on. And you know what? We'll be right here to talk about it, win, lose, or draw. A lot to come up, a lot to get to in the next hour of Up On Game. We'll have Legendary Moment. We'll have Up On Game, Down On Game, and a few more things before we get you out and watch your college football for the rest of the day. You're listening to Up On Game. That's TJ Hutchmanzada. That's Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. Hope y'all enjoying our conversations. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.